The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
It's Culture Club time. Delighted today to be joined by Eimear Dineen, who is a performer, theatre maker and musical artist who will be performing at the Dublin Theatre Festival 0800 Cupid, which he wrote and is going to be directed by somebody who was here on the Culture Club, I think it was about this time last year, Philip McMahon. Eimear Dineen, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So what is 0800 Cupid?
0800 Cupid is a musical extravaganza. It is a piece of gig theatre. It's a narrative album. So we have an amazing track list of about 8 to 12 tracks, and we move through them with a narrative, a roller coaster of stories from my life and things that kind of tap into the zeitgeist and what it is to kind of, you know, have grown up chronically online and what that means for connection and love in the modern day.
Explain that a bit more to me, because we were talking at the very start of the programme today about the impact on mental health of always on access to the internet via mobile phones. Is that partly what you're talking about and how it's impacted on your relationships?
I think so. I think I'm kind of only really talking about my personal experience and like to talk macro, like.
No, but I'm interested in your personal experience of that.
I think, you know, yeah, I'm a kind of internet native, as it were. I, since puberty, really have always had a platform outside of myself where you can kind of, I've noticed you have a platform or metrics to kind of curate an identity before you even have one. I think like young people today feel a pressure to display or access or amplify certain aspects of their identity or personality or kind of decide upon who they are before they've really discovered it for themselves in the real world.
So is this an alternative digital personality or is it an extension of who they really are?
It could be both, you know, but there's just so much influence and there's so much noise, and I personally feel very saturated by information and trends and kind of, yeah, it's saturated by the exposure to so much.
That's an interesting use of word, saturated, because that almost implies overwhelmed, or if you're to take a sort of a watery analogy, drenched by it all. Too much to soak up, is it?
I'd say so. I'm just interested in how it like affects our relationship to the real world in terms of like kind of staying present with one another. And like Simon Amstel has this amazing joke where he's running through a field of wheat or something, and he's kind of imagining what it would be like to talk about this experience in retrospect. And he's like, well, oh, what a great memory. I should. And then when he's talking about it later in the pub, it's like, well, how did it feel? It's like, I don't know. I was thinking about what I was going to say to you. We're kind of like looking at life from the outside. We have a vehicle to look at life from the outside slightly, which kind of leads to a slight disconnection to the self.
And tell us a little bit more about the show, though, 0800 Cupid. You said you have the music in between. Is it live performances or is it tracks been layered in?
It's live and both. It's kind of, we have a live band, an amazing live band, and we also use produced tracks are kind of woven through storytelling and song in 1 hour of fabby bangers.
And of course, you have experience of having worked with Philip McMahon before, haven't you? This is Pop Baby.
Yes. With This Is Pop Baby and also with Bourgeois Maurice, Insane Animals, home in Manchester. That's where we met.
Okay, let's go through your choices, which got you to where you are in theatre today. On the Culture Club, we always start with music, and we always ask every guest to tell us about the first music that they remember buying for themselves. We sometimes say single, but I think you're way too young to be from the single era, are you?
Yeah, I think so.
So what's the first music that you can really remember engaging with and getting for yourself?
I remember getting ABBA Gold. I remember maybe it was an influence from my dad. My dad's a big ABBA fan, but I remember it must have been in HMV picking up ABBA Gold and then listening to that relentlessly just over and over again and learning all of the words. And yeah, it was a big bonding point, I think, between me and my dad, because my dad's just as camp as I am, apparently, and can't get enough.
But you also have on the list, and we have a clip from, we have the Spice Girls and Spice Up Your Life.
Well, naturally.
Why, naturally?
I'm only human. Spice up your life. I think my brother actually destroyed this CD because I played it so much. I distinctly remember he had to snap it because I think it was driving him insane.
Well, let's hear a little bit of Spice Up Your Life. My notes tell me that you specialise in cabaret, theatre, musical comedy, live music and drag. So is maybe the Spice Girls the early influence in all of that?
I imagine so, yeah. I think you can track back a lot of influence from the Spice Girls.
Yet your album choices are utterly different to the music you've already told us about. How did you fall for Nina Simone?
I mean, how do you not really? Like, I remember the first time listening to Nina Simone and like, just this feeling of like, there's no, from her like soul to her mouth, like there's nothing contrived or created or manufactured. It's just like, just straight. It's so guttural. Just kind of like hits right to your soul. And yeah, and an amazing, I'm just a sucker for an amazing lyricist.
And you have her Live at Montreux album from 1976 as one of your choices. The other choice that you have is one that used to come up so often in this and hasn't for a long time. And I'm delighted you brought it back up again. Blue by Joni Mitchell.
I know.
So again, Joni Mitchell, why did you fall for her?
Well, yeah, an amazing lyricist. Joni's helped me through some rough patches and an influence from my mum as well. She has such an incredible way of like painting pictures and kind of like immersive scenes with her words. And yeah, she's so transportive and again hits this kind of emotional resonance in me that has really helped me to kind of process some difficult times in my life. And I know that that's probably the same for a lot of people. So yeah.
From the album Blue, let's hear a little bit of River. All those things you said, Emer, but the voice as well.
Who gave her permission to be so talented? Just stunning.
Wonderful.
Absolutely stunning.
Favourite bands or favourite artists? You've gone modern for us. In particular, you've gone for Chapel Rouen and also CMAT.
I mean, yeah, the gals are just really doing it at the moment. I can't get them out of my head. Actually, I wake up with Chapel Roan in my head just on repeat all the time. She's amazing. And also amazing to see like this incredible queer artist just dominating pop music at the moment. Like, she is truly formidable and like, what a force. And Seema, again, an incredible lyricist. Like, yeah, she's, her work is like not only incredible and so well produced, but her lyrics, yeah, are like poetry.
Let's hear a little bit of C-Matt. I want to be a cowboy, baby.
Yeah.
I want to be a cowboy, baby. C-Matt from the 2022 album, If My Wife Knew I'd Be Dead. Do you go to many gigs, Emer?
I try to. It's also difficult as well when you kind of work in gig culture, cabaret gigs or music gigs. And yeah, it's crazy. You have all this free time, like on midday on a Tuesday, and then your evenings are taken up by work. But yeah,
and the busier you are, the less you get to see.
The busier you are, the less you get to see. Yeah, which is frustrating. But I'm excited because we're in rehearsals at the moment, and Dublin Fringe is going on, so I'm really excited to kind of catch some amazing theatre work whilst we're here, and music gigs, hopefully.
Best gig you were ever at? What would stand out for you?
The standout, I mean, it's so hard to choose, but the standout for me would probably be FKA Twigs at Glastonbury. I have like a very special relationship with this particular festival this particular year because it's the first time I played at Glastonbury. I'm a songwriter and vocalist for dance music with Hospital Records, and I did that kind of throughout my teenage years, and we played Glastonbury with a kind of live setup. We had a kind of 16-piece brass band, and like it was two drummers, and yeah, it was one of the most incredible moments of my life. And we had just done that, and I kind of felt very elated, and it was the Sunday at the West Holt stage, and FKA Twigs is someone I'm hugely, hugely inspired by. And the sun was setting and she was like wearing this kind of golden sparkly outfit, and it was, everything about it was just, it felt like divine, like cosmic almost. And yeah, she's just an artist that I really am deeply inspired by and respect, and I was blown away.
Well, we have a little bit of Glastonbury 2015, FKA Twigs, and this is Numbers. Okay, that's FKA Twigs Numbers from Glastonbury in 2015. We've got to take a break. Emer Dineen is with us, who has written and will perform 0800 Cupid at the Dublin Theatre Festival. We'll hear more of her choices when we come back after this. Welcome back to the Culture Club here on The Last Word of Today FM. Emer Dineen is our guest today, performer, theatre maker, musical artist, and has written and will perform 0800 Cupid at the Dublin Theatre Festival, directed by Philip McMahon. So it's a This Is Pop Baby production, and it's on from the 28th of September to the 5th of October. Tickets available from 20 to 30 euro available at dublintheatrefestival.ie. So let's move away from the music for the time being, Emer. And favourite movies, and we ask movies, actors, directors, you have given us a list of choices, all of one of which I have never heard of.
Well, it's because I'm very obscure and interesting, that's why.
Hang on, you have a documentary about an American dancer in the Bastiva Dance Company in Israel.
I'm sorry. No, actually, no. This, now I just feel like, the I chose this. It was a documentary I was really inspired by. It's a documentary called Bobby Jean that I saw at the BFI Film Festival. And it was kind of like when I was coming out, just graduated from drama school and, like, you know, had this kind of hunger to create and get out there. And it's about this incredible dancer. I'm always so fascinated by dancers and also frustrated because, you know, as a writer, you can spend a lifetime just trying to articulate something that a dancer could just, like, do with one gesture and, you know, break your heart. But she was just so strong and incredible, and it was just kind of about her creating this body of work. And just I'm so interested in people's process. That's kind of like what I enjoy most about creating art is the process. And, like, you know, I've just come from rehearsals today, so forgive my appearance of my hair up and about and probably looking quite disheveled, but I, like, love being in the heart of the creative process and seeing everyone's different discipline, everyone kind of, like, so immersed in, for example, in our rehearsal room at the moment, we have, like, the music production team. Everyone's kind of getting really intricate about sonically, like, you know, even something as specific as, like, a snare sound. And then we have, you know, choreography and, you know, the details and the gestures and, like, people really getting really forensic about the work. And this is a film about someone in a very, very kind of detailed process of creating a body of work. And as pretentious as it sounds now, it being read back to me, that's honestly...
But yeah. What about the other choices? Deviate, The Cost of Living?
Yeah, that's a similar... Deviate is a physical theatre company. And they, similarly, they have... this incredible film that moves through different landscapes and different movement sequences that kind of tell us a story without any words. It's just kind of moving and music, and I find it very captivating.
Well, one that may be more familiar to our listeners, Cabaret, the 1972 version of the musical, directed by Bob Fosse and starring Liza Minnelli.
Of course. Well, Liza.
Liza, sorry, Liza.
Of course.
Let's hear a little bit of Cabaret. Liza Minnelli as Sally Bowles.
Everybody loves a winner, so nobody loved me. Lady Peaceful, Lady Happy, that's what I long to be. Well, all the odds are there in my favor. Something's bound to begin. It's gotta happen. Happen sometime. Maybe this time I'll win. 'Cause everybody,
Liza Minnelli in Cabaret.
What a banger.
Okay. You actually have done as directors and actors, somebody who we would not necessarily associate with movies, but I do want to ask you about both of them. As I said, Philip McMahon is your favourite director. He was with us last year for Culture Club. What is it about him, apart from the fact that he is directing you in 0800 Cupid, that you like so much?
I'm actually just contractually obliged to say Philip McMahon right now. No, he's amazing. He's so, like, again, forensic, and he cuts straight to the heart and the feeling of everything. I'm working with him. I'm constantly inspired every day.
But favourite actor, your mother.
My mum.
Tell us about your mother, Kate Corkery.
Kate Corkery, yeah. So So I'm Irish. We were born in Cork, moved over. My dad and my mum are both, my mum's Passage West, my dad's North Cork. And
north side of Cork City, to north be more quick. North Cork is country.
North side of Cork City, yes. My mum is a storyteller of Celtic folklore, and our house at home is just like head to toe in kind of books of Irish mythology. And I grew up listening to her tell these amazing stories, and like, you know, every night before bed, just getting totally absorbed into this kind of other world of her imagination. And like, I just think she's, obviously I'm biased because she's my mum, but like, I've never been single-handedly through one person completely transported to another world. So when you ask me, in my honest truth, Kate Corkery, she's the one.
Fair enough. Favourite player musical? You've given us a few. Tell us about your choices. You've gone for Cats.
Oh, yeah.
Not ruined for you by the movie, no?
I actually haven't watched the movie. Yeah, the movie for me felt sacrilegious.
You were warned about it.
I was warned about it, yeah. I had a friend who came out of it say that they felt kind of nauseous because it was so, like, the cutaways, it was so dizzying. Yeah, I religiously watched the 1997 film of Cats every night as a child. I was just very absorbed by, you know, not only these fabby cats in Lycra, but also how abstract it was and how it kind of didn't attempt to make much sense. And yeah, something at it really kind of hit a imaginative.
We have a clip. Elaine Page singing Memories from the Andrew Lloyd Webber musical, the original Cats.
The original.
Elaine Page in Cats. Now, your other choice is?
My other choice of?
Play or musical. Cowboys
at the Royal Court. Yes.
Now, what's this?
Cowboys was on last year. It's incredible. New production. And it was kind of queering the narrative around a kind of classic cowboy story full of amazing queer and trans performers. And it's some of the most phenomenal acting I've seen in recent years. Most notably, my friend Louis Cypher, who's an incredible drag king, who made an amazing cowboy, in my opinion.
Okay. Books. And you've given us quite a few books, starting with Zadie Smith.
Zadie Smith. Yeah, I love anything by Zadie Smith. Zadie, like, she's so incredible at describing, you know, like London life, what it's like to grow up in London, and also kind of like diaspora stories as well, not feeling like you're kind of really from any one place or both place or neither. And yeah, White Teeth in particular was one of my favourite books by her.
And what other books would you pick out for us?
I've got David Sedaris here. He's an incredible writer. He's so kind of like poetic and witty and sharp. Happy Go Lucky is a fantastic book by David Sedaris, if you're interested.
And you've got Kay Tempest. And when you tell us a little bit about Let Them Eat Chaos, once we've heard a little bit from the audio extract.
Of course.
Picture a vacuum, an endless and unmoving blackness. Peace, or the absence at least of terror. Now see in amongst all this space, that speck of light in the furthest corner, gold as a pharaoh's coffin. Now follow that light with your tired eyes. It's been a long day, I know, but look. Watch as it flickers and then roars into fullness and fills the whole frame, blazing a fire you can't bear the majesty of. Here is our sun. And look, see how the planets are dangled around it and held in that intricate dance. There is our earth. Our earth. Its blueness soothes the sharp burn in your eyes. Its contours remind you of love, that soft roundness, the comfort of ocean and landmass. Picture the world, older than she ever thought that she'd get. She looks at herself as she spins, arms loaded with the trophies of her most successful child. The pylons and mines, the power plants shimmer in her still, cool breath. Now is that a smile that plays across her lips? Or is it a tremor of dread? The sadness of mothers as they watch the fates of their children unfold.
Tell us about Kate Tempest.
Kate Tempest is an incredible poet and spoken word artist and musician whose work is... I find it kind of, it's almost spiritual or cosmic, like they find a way to really transport you to other realms and kind of look at, to zoom out of our society and kind of look at things on a more kind of spiritual plane, I find. I've been consistently inspired by Kate Tempest.
Okay, let's move on to TV shows. What you loved as a child or teenager just shows you how young you are. That Breaking Bad isn't that long ago, and that's your teenage favourite.
I know. Yeah. I mean, in fact, I probably got into Breaking Bad earlier than most because of my older brother, maybe. It was pretty absorbed into the acting and the narrative, and yeah, pretty glued.
It's an absolute classic. Yeah. And then for adults like Succession, like nearly everybody who comes on this programme loves Succession.
Make me feel so basic.
No, after all the other choices you've had, I'm delighted that you have one.
Do you know what? I'm not sure I wanted to put down Succession because honestly, like, I feel ill after every episode of Succession. Like, I just feel like I've had some kind of takeaway made out of familial betrayal and regret. I just, you know, Succession is so...
wonderful.
It's incredible. No, I love it. But it's so visceral as well.
You also have, though, I May Destroy You. Tell me about what I May Destroy You is.
It's a series from Michaela Cole, an incredible writer from London. And I May Destroy You, I think it's an 8-episode series. And she actually explores the process of writing a show about her personal experience of processing sexual trauma. And, you know, she really kind of brings us along on the journey, and she does it with so much power and eloquence.
Let's hear Michaela Cole as Arabella in I May Destroy You. This is where she goes to talk to a therapist.
How are you doing? I'm great, great. I'm great as long as I'm around people, when I'm alone. Flashbacks. It's just sometimes it gets a bit much.
What do you do when it gets a bit much?
I just make sure I'm around someone, anyone. And if I'm not, I say there are hungry children, there are hungry children, there are hungry children. There's a war in Syria, there's a war in Syria, there's a war in Syria. Or not everyone has a smartphone, not everyone has a smartphone, not everyone has a smartphone. To remind myself of the bigger picture.
Sometimes, when we try our best to see the big picture, we lose sight of the little one altogether. The little detail here is you. Family?
Family? Yeah, I see him a bit.
You haven't told your mum, I guess.
But I've got friends. Yeah. And my friends, they, you know, they all know what happened. So.
It's helpful to identify people you trust. And then from there, try doing relaxing, creative things together.
Like?
You could go for walks, yoga, jogging, meditation, painting.
Painting?
Handicrafts.
I don't even think I know what handicrafts is.
Colouring in.
Michaela Cole as Arabella in I May Destroy You. Now, to finish, we ask every guest for buried treasure, something that people may not be familiar with. And would you believe, Emer, you have picked somebody who actually did this Culture Club last January, who would have been one of my favourite ever guests. I was just scrolling through to get the photograph of Janice Ian here in the studio last January when she was in Dublin. And she had terrific
choices. That's so incredible.
What is it about Janice Ian that you like so much? And I tell you, when you meet her, she is lovely.
Is she?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so beautiful. I love Janice Ian. I think there's such a purity, not only to her voice, but her songwriting. Like, she's just such a beautiful artist. And like, some of her lyrics are the ones that kind of circle around in my head. I've even put a reference to her in the show. A little ode to Janice Ian in this show.
So let's hear a little bit of Janice Ian's Stars.
I was never one for singing. What I really feel, except tonight I'm bringing everything I know that's real. Stars, they come go. They come fast or slow. They go like the last light of the sun, all in a blaze. And all you see is glory. Hey, but it gets lonely there when there's no one here to share.
Janice Ian with Stars. And just to finish, Emer Dineen, your mother. You want to go back to a book that your mother wrote as another buried treasure. Tell us what it is.
Well, it's Cork Folk Tales with the Irish History Press. And yeah, it's beautiful. She's collated all of the traditional folklore from around Cork and collated them all into a book. And yeah, it's pretty magic. I actually did the illustrations for it.
Excellent. Emer Dineen, it's been great having you. 0800 Cupid is on at the Dublin Theatre Festival 28th of September to 5th of October.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.